Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
He's always with us. No matter the circumstances, He's always with us. In good times, He's always with us. In bad times, He's always with us. We thank You for Your everlasting presence, Father. We give You glory. We give You praise. We give You praise. You remain faithful always. You're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank You. Even in our deepest tears, our deepest sorrows, when our heart is overwhelmed, You always lead us to the rock that is higher than us. Thank You because You are with us. For His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then His Spirit comes upon us. For we have the Spirit within and we have the Spirit upon. We thank You because Your Spirit is upon and within us. Thank You, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is grateful for God's presence? Come on. Let's celebrate the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Shekabai. My God. These guys opened the heavens. Heaven is already open. Amen. But they have their way of doing it. Praise the Lord. All right. So tonight we're going to do, it's a teaching tonight. Are you ready? So I want you to get your notepads, your writing materials. We're going to learn from the scripture tonight. And if anyone is confused on the subject of the grace of God or the message of the grace of God, I believe your answers will come tonight, all right? So you will see where the scriptures intersect as touching grace, the law, the purpose of Christ coming and all of that. Were you blessed by the word on Sunday, by the way? All right, we spoke about the work of Christ and we talked about light, how that Jesus is the light of the world. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And He looked at the blind man who was born blind, and He said to the man that it is for the purpose of the display of the work of God. And you know, we're talking about the work of Christ. We're talking about the work of Christ, and Jesus said that the purpose of this man being born blind is so that the work of God should be made manifest. And then He says, I am the light of the world. And we saw how that you are in spiritual darkness if you're not born again. But the moment you receive Christ, you come into light. And we dealt with all of that. You can go back to the teaching and it will be a blessing to you. Amen. So tonight we will talk about grace and the law. Grace and the law. When I teach on things like this, it is for you to see the wisdom of God in salvation, basically, and your thanksgiving towards God abounds when you see what God had to do in order to save you. Because there is the wisdom of God when it comes to your salvation. The Bible talks about God confounding the wisdom of the world through foolishness, that He might display that wisdom, or confounding the high falutin things with simple things, the foolishness of the cross. You see, when we talk about the gospel, we talk about the foolishness of the message. It doesn't sound smart for God to use death in the delivering of mankind from death. There's nothing smart about it. But the Bible calls it a mystery, saying that Jesus would die, right? And this mystery was hid from before the foundation of the world. So do you have 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30? Let me just do an introductory verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. It says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, Jesus became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So you see this in the scripture, that Jesus is our wisdom. Can we say that together? He's my wisdom. all right? But more so, he's actually the wisdom of God, all right? He's the wisdom of God because it is through Jesus, the problem of demarcation between the sinful man and sin was established. It is through Jesus that God separated sin from the man he loves. It is through Jesus. So Jesus is the wisdom of God. How do you deal with a father who loves a child, but the child must be punished because of something wrong the child has done? The father must have the right wisdom to dealing with that situation. And Jesus has become the wisdom of the Father. Say amen, someone.
Amen.
So, when you understand what Christ did for you and the extent God went to in saving us, our thanksgiving should abound. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Many Thanksgiving services, I would always read this scripture because this is the fulcrum. This is the background of our Thanksgiving as New Testament believers. So it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for what? So let me feel your energy in the house this evening. God from the beginning chose you for what? Through what? Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So why we are bound, why, you know, we thank God for material things, thank God for our car, thank God for our house, thank God for our this, our that. All of that is good. But bulk of what the Old Testament folk thank God for was things. You see, so in the New Testament, what you thank God for is redemption, primarily salvation. All those things are not out of place. You see, they have their place where you say, I come to give God thanks for the material things he has given to me and all of that. It has its place. Nothing wrong with that. But primarily for the believer, why we thank God in the New Testament is because of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, tonight, we'll talk about grace, the law. It's a long journey, but we'll see wherever the clock is supposed to be here, but we'll see wherever we can stop. SMT, you need to correct that. Wherever we can stop, we will stop. John chapter 1 and verse 16. We'll begin from there. John chapter 1 and verse 16. Now it says, and of his fullness, we have all received. Now, so let's behave like Bible students. Let me give you the rule in this class today. First of all, tell your neighbor, say you are in class now. All right, so I want it to be participatory. You're going to speak with me and recite with me, read the scriptures with me, and make sure you are writing. It's important to write so that you can teach others. Amen? So you can teach others. All right, so let's read together. One to go. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. Of whose fullness? Christ, Jesus. Then look at verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let me say this. It's like an introductory statement on this verse before I go into the teaching fully. You know, there are some people who believe that the words of Paul should never be compared to the words of Jesus. Have you heard those statements before? So there is a theology that says, never exalt the words of anybody, any teacher in the Bible, any writer in the Bible above the words of Jesus. Now, when people think the gospel message is Paul's message, that's a mistake, because Paul is not the originator of the message of the grace of God. It is actually a message given to him by Christ Jesus. That is Jesus' message. If you remember before Jesus left, he said something that there are some things I want to tell you, but you cannot take them now. But when the Spirit of truth is come, he will lead you into all things. So if you check the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will not see the doctrine of the message of grace. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all right? The synoptic gospels and then John. You won't see it there. You might probably see snippets of it. But if you look at Romans, if you look at Acts, if you look at Galatians, if you look at Corinthians, you might see the detail of the message of the gospel. And if you look at John chapter 1, verse 17, it says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. So it tells you now that the message of grace and truth is not Paul's message. Well, let me put it right. It does not originate from Paul. It is Jesus' message, because on Paul's account, it was Jesus who instructed him on what to say. He conferred not with flesh and blood. Are you with me now? So this message of the gospel of grace is the message of Christ. Jesus came with this message. So anyone who says, I don't want to exalt the letters of Paul above the letters in red, is not dividing the word of truth accurately. Okay? Yeah, that's not correct dividing of the word. Because dividing of the word correctly would make you see the link, would make you connect the dots in the scripture, would make you fit the puzzles together to make you see that, okay, what Christ died for is what Paul stayed back to explain. Because Jesus had to go, but someone had to explain what Jesus did. And that person is the person of Paul. Amen. Amen. Even Peter, you know, Peter confessed that some of the writings of Paul are too hard to understand. Right? And that is not to question the writing of Paul, but it is to affirm that this message is truly a revelation from God, because Paul did not learn from a human being. Jesus taught him by himself. And the scripture says that when he went to Jerusalem, he had to check or match to be sure that his message is consistent with what the apostles are teaching. And when the apostles heard of what Paul was teaching, the Bible says that they gave him a right hand of fellowship. Are you with me? So John chapter 1 verse 16 and 17 makes it clear that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So let's say that together. Grace and truth. If I were a good student, I would write down this point. I know it sounds simple because you've heard it before, but one of the things you should write is grace and truth came by Jesus. That's good points to write. And you put the verse beside it, John 1, 17. Grace and truth came by Jesus. You know, when you are making your notes, you must be able to discern where the meat is in the message and put it down. Praise God. So I want you to be able to teach others this gospel message. Amen, somebody. So grace and truth came through Jesus. The word and, but grace and truth, the word and there is the word kai in the Greek. And the word kai there is not a separate word that separates and, or no, that separates grace from truth. In other words, if I say Jimmy and Dorcas, these are two different people, Jimmy and Dorcas. So the word and there is suggestive that the two of them are different people. But the word and here is different. It says and, which means which is. The word and here means which is. So if I say Jimmy and Dorcas, it is Jimmy which is Dorcas for the purpose of explanation. Amen. Catch the joke, you catch it. You don't catch it, that's your business. So for the purpose of explanation, Jimmy, which is Dorcas, I think I should use husband and wife. Let me move safely to this place. So these are married persons, right? And the two shall become one. Now this is gift and this is blessing. So and suggests that it is gift and blessing, as if they are two different people. But the word and there is gift, which is blessing, or blessing, which is gift. That word and means also. So you can say gift, who is also blessing. So if you look at it, it says grace, which is also truth. So we can't be asking for truth when we have heard grace. Yeah. Once you hear grace, that is truth. And when you are looking for truth, look for grace. So the message of the grace of God is the truth of God. Acts chapter 20 speaks of the whole counsel of God. It says, I have not shown to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Are you with me now? All right. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. It says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So the Bible is the book of two covenants. You can write that down. The Bible is a book of two covenants. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. If the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So there is a second covenant, all right, after a first covenant. When I go deeper into the teaching, I would teach on covenants. But now is not the day to teach on covenants. Now I want to talk about grace and the law. Amen. All right. Let's start with the law. Write this down. Facts about the law. There are certain facts that the law holds in the scripture. There are certain facts that the law holds in the scripture. The first thing you must understand about the law is that when I talk about the law, please, I talk about the Ten Commandments given to Moses or for the children of Israel through Moses. That's what I'm talking about, the Ten Commandments. And the law is not only the Ten Commandments, but the law is also requirements in addition to the Ten Commandments. So there is 613 requirements. There is a moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. There is also a ceremonial law, which is the rudiments or the instructions on how worship in the temple must be conducted. So that is ceremonial law. There is moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. Then there is civil law, which is how you organize yourself in the society and one another. So that is civil law. But when God speaks of law, he speaks of his commandment to the Israelites in how they deal with him and with one another. All right? With him involves how they worship in the temple, how they worship him, and when it comes to one another, how they deal with one another. So, facts about the law. Number one, I'll give you three facts about the law. Number one, the law is holy. The law is holy. It's nothing sinful about the law. The law is holy. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. The law is holy. All right, it says, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So in addition to holy, you can also add, the law is just, the law is good, according to scripture. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. So the law is holy. Why is the law holy? The law is holy because it comes from God. That's why the law is holy. Whatever comes from God is holy. So the law is holy. There is no problem with the law when you stand the law in and out by itself. There is no issue with the law. So the law is holy. Say with me, the law is holy. Are we learning something?
Yes, sir.
Then the second fact about the law is, the law is a curse. Yes, the law is holy, but also the law is a curse. The law is a curse. I give you scripture. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. The law is a curse. For as many, can we read together? All right. Sorry, let's start again. One, two, go. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So let me throw the question back to you. Why is, if we say the law is holy, why is the law a curse? Stay with this verse. Look at this verse, then the answer is there. So give me the answer from this verse. Why is the, if the law is holy, why is a holy law also a curse when it comes to you? Why? The answer is there. Curses everyone who does not what? Continue. So the key word, why the law is a curse, is because nobody can continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. Nobody. No human being can continue in all things. So you can write that down. The law is a curse because nobody can continue in all things under the law. Nobody can continue in all things under the law, or the things which are written in the book of the law. You cannot do all the things that the law requires you to do. It is impossible. Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. For Moses writes, let's read it together, one to go. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. Who wants to live by what he does? Let's do a road check right now. Let's do a sample. Who wants to live by what he does? My father was telling me about the hypocrisy of people who are under the law, and he explained it this way. He said, if people are arguing about the fact that you are saved by grace, just the simple message of salvation by grace. He says, if people are arguing about it, they are not sincere. So I said, explain. He now said, have you ever seen anybody? If they say, this is how he put it. He said, if they say going to heaven is by what you do, by your performance, that you will make heaven by your performance, if they believe that, can they talk about boldly when they are traveling from Abuja to Owerri by road that God should answer the prayer when they say, I will get to my destination without accident and let God do it only by my sinlessness? That your arrival in Owerri is predicated on your holiness. That you must be 100% holy. If not, let God strike you on the road. So my father said, if they can't pray that prayer, if you can't pray to travel from Kano to Kaduna and not be struck by God on the road or by anything on the road, just because of your... Do you get the point? Then you are not... So he says, if from Abuja to Owerri is the problem, then it's earth to heaven that you have confidence in by your performance. So he told me, he said, they are not sincere. If people think that they are going to heaven is by their performance, then can you pray that your arrival in to your destination, let it be by your performance? If not, let God strike you on the road. Can you pray that prayer with full mind? That let God look at your life. If there is any single sin, let him kill you on the road. Let the driver sleep. Let the driver sleep. Something happened on the road. Who can pray that prayer? If you can pray that prayer, lift your hands up. That let you arrive your destination by your performance and by your holiness. So why are we hypocritical in church? When God has given us a good news. You see, the essence of teaching you the gospel is so that thanksgiving will what? Abound. Say with me, say thanksgiving abounds. So when you know what Christ has done for you, thanksgiving will what? Abound. That's why it's good to search the scripture. Find out who you are in Christ. Find out what Christ has done for you. Be a Christian who knows how to explain these things. There are believers who don't know these things. All they know is, Father, give me. Father, forgive me. Finish. Father, give me. Father, forgive me. That's the essence of church to them. Father, give me. Or Father, forgive me. That's the essence of church. But God is raising a generation of people who are sound in the teaching of the gospel that will make people understand the riches of the grace of God. Amen, somebody. We need to know that we have been helped. You know, I always say this, that Christianity is the only faith that needs a savior. Islam does not need a savior. My father was a Muslim. Islam doesn't need a savior. You will save yourself. You walk your way through. Judaism doesn't need a savior. Buddhism doesn't need a savior. The only thing is Christianity that needs a savior. And we are now rejecting the savior. In fact, in the mind of people, not them kill Jesus. What people, they just kill him. Meanwhile, they don't know why he came. He came to substitute himself because the wages of sin is death. And please let me explain. The death there is not just physical death. The wages of sin there, the death there is not just physical death. The death the Bible is talking about is eternal separation from God. So the wages of sin is death. Death means eternal what? Separation. Eternal, not physical death. If not, why is it that believers are still dying in Christ? If the curse of the consequence of sin has been taken away in Christ, why do believers still die? Because that's not the death the Bible is talking about. The one Jesus substituted for you and I is the eternal separation from God that we have been delivered from. So I think we should thank God well, right? That's what it is. So Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. Who can live by his works? Who can live? Please ask your neighbor in a very kind way. Can you live by your works? So this is what the law said. The just shall live by works. That is the law. That is what this thing you just read now. What I just said is what you just read now. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. In other words, the just shall live by works. But when you switch to the new covenant, the just shall live by faith. So now you now know what the just shall live by faith means. It's a direct contradistinction between the law. Let's see the next verse. But the righteousness of faith. You see the word but. It is telling you we're in a different era now. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from. I don't have time to go this. Who will come back here? Amen. So facts about the law. The law is holy. The law is also a curse. I gave you two scriptures under the law being a curse. Galatians 3 verse 10. Romans 10 verse 5. Let's see. It's not in my note, but I think I should show you something in Romans 8 from verse 1. We're going to read all the way down. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law. Come on, read with me now. Verse 3. Come on, let's go. Are you ready? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Use the NLT version. Use the NLT version. Use the NLT version. This is verse 3. It says the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So I told you that the law is holy. Say with me, say the law is holy. But the law is also a curse because when it comes to you performing the law is not strong when it enters the human body. The law cannot perform if it's in a person. But if the law is separated from a person, the law is holy. The law is good. The law is just. But when it comes to human being, no law, no, it can't work. Because it is weak in our flesh. That's why anybody who is always boasting on willpower is putting himself under the curse of the law. It's better for you to lead on the dictates of the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? For it is God who works in us both to will and to do. Not the law, but it is God who works. God now puts the law in our hearts. I don't want to jump, you know, ahead of myself. Then number three, fact about the law. The law doesn't save us. The law doesn't save us. I'm sure I've said this in the course of my conversation. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. The law doesn't save us. Now let's read it. Have you written that down? All right, let's read it. One to go. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live what? By faith. What is the opposite of the just shall live by faith? The just shall live by what? Works. In other words, you have to live by what you do. Your life should be tied to what you do, your performance. The just shall live by works. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Ha! No one. Listen, if the Bible says no one, no one. Not even the most pious person. No one is no one. That no one is justified by the law. Let's see the Passion Translation, TPT. We'll see NLT, we'll see TPT, we'll see all the T's. For the scriptures reveal, and it is obvious, say with me, say it is obvious, that no one achieves the righteousness of God by attempting to keep the law. For it is written, those who have been made holy will live by faith. Is the scripture clear enough? Anybody who tries to attempt it cannot do it. So even the most intelligent guy, the most good guy, the goodest of them all, the gooder you are, the nearer you are to the kingdom of God. Not lie. Not lie. The nicer you are, the nicest you can ever become, the closer you are. You know, there are some people, you just see them, you feel like, this guy is close because he's nice. Listen, with his niceness, he will go to hell if he has not received Christ. Because it is not if anyone be nice. It is if anyone is in Christ. He's a new creation. All things are passed away. Those who enter the ark of the Noah's ark. Do you know that it wasn't about the goodness and the niceness of those that were in? It was just the fact that they were in. If a nice guy was outside the ark, the niceness not gonna save him from the flood, though. He go collect. Amen. It's just like you telling me that, you know, when God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over, right? And is anybody who was behind the blood, if you are inside the building and the blood on the lintel was in front of you, the angel of death will pass over. So it's not about how nice you are. The thing is, are you inside the house? Because angel of death, they pass. You are outside. Angel of death, it's not a grief for anybody. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So it's not about how nice people are that saves them. So it is clear, this is NLT now. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Please, let's say this last phrase together. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. Tell your neighbor, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Tell another person, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now personalize it. It is through faith that I have life. Not by performance. There's a parable of someone who went to heaven and the guy stood on the holy meter. You know what holy meter is? Holiness meter. So the holiness meter must read 100. Then the gate of heaven will open. Then you enter. So this guy stood. This guy tried. Taste tight. Never missed a service. Good guy. Nice guy. Lovely guy. You know, philanthropist. Gave to the poor. Evangelized. You see, he sang our songs, but did not put faith in Christ. Had no idea of Christ. The guy believes Jesus is a prophet. The guy doesn't believe Jesus came to die for mankind. But the guy believes in God. I have done these things for God. You know, it says in that day, many will cry, I've done this in your name. But it says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, there's no time to teach that. Workers of iniquity in the time of the work does not look like iniquity. It looks like works of righteousness. But it says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I do not know you. So Jesus can't be lying. You understand? Jesus doesn't tell lies when he says, I don't know you. It's those who put faith in him that he knows. So the guy stands on the holy meter. Holy meter reads, okay, works. You they try, you they give church. Well, you they try, you they try, you they try. But as pertaining entering heaven, the thing reads 75. It moves down to 80. You say, okay, you support pastor. The thing now enters 90. You bought a car for pastor 95. Because if God is speaking to your heart, obey God now. Let me tell you what happened this weekend. Pastor Yemi called me. Say, Pastor Phil, come. I said, last week, I said, okay. He just took me to a store. He said, choose anything. Just pick things. Nobody has done that for me before. Nobody. Okay, maybe Shima. Even me, I'm like, Pastor Amy. So I picked something. I picked it. It was expensive. I didn't know it was that expensive. When they told us the price, I said, no, let's, Pastor Amy, no. He said, no, Pastor, we are taking it. So we took it. Then he now looked at the woman and said, please, we need one more. Let Pastor make his choice again. You don't understand. Again and again. Even the shoe I'm wearing now is the one that bought it from me. You know when the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them? Labor. I'm telling you, last week, Pastor Yemi just do me like this. I say, the way I prayed for him, you know, from my heart, from my lungs. You know that kind of prayer where pastor will be praying for you. If God does not bless you, let my hand be like this. You run short of words. I'm just playing. Don't mind me. I'm just playing. So it's good to bless your pastor. There's nothing wrong. It's good to bless your church. It's good to bless your friends, your family, everybody. But this one now, I'm talking about your pastor. You should have my account number. You see, let me tell you, not because I need it, but you must be able to thank God for your man of God who feeds you in spiritual things and you relate with him in carnal things. That's not my message, amen. But I just thought to chip this in because that thing the guy did took him to 95%. But God said, it is not enough. Is there faith in Christ here? The guy was saying performance. The guy didn't go. Then there was a wretched guy. Wretched. Didn't look like it, doesn't talk like it, but the guy believes in Jesus. Immediately the guy climbed the scale. Bam! 100. Door, bam! Open. Faith in Christ. That's all is required for salvation. Now, you know the good works that was taking that guy to 80%, 90%? It is when you have entered heaven that one now makes sense. Because when everybody is now in heaven, then Christ will start looking at our works. You were sitting down at home when others were evangelizing. No reward for you, but this one, he has the reward. So there are people who have crowns. Crowns, stars on their crowns because of the good works. But make no mistake, it is not the good works that opens the gate. But it is the good works that gives you the crown inside. So someone who has good works without the faith can't enter. Then someone who has faith but no good works will enter but with empty head. Why would you be in heaven with empty head forever and ever for a billion years and make that your permanent status? Because it will never change. When your time here on earth is your investment opportunity to put stars and crowns on your head. You know, some of you, they think you are fools. Coming to church, loving the Lord, reading your Bible, evangelizing. They think you don't have what to do. Over how many years? 100 years that will soon go. So let's be wise. The real wisdom is not in the world, though. The real wisdom is where? In Christ. Ha! So this guy climbed the scale. Bam! He entered. Doors were open for him. So access to him. My father is working on a book. I think Pastor Paul is working on the editing. He says, heaven is a gift, not a reward. Heaven is a what? Gift, not a reward. But your reward is in heaven. So that's why Peter puts it this way. To our inheritance, which is reserved for us in heaven. Meaning that, this is 2 Peter chapter 1. Or is it 2 Peter 2 now? Look for that scripture. Meaning that heaven is not the inheritance. But the inheritance is in heaven. Scripture. Look for that scripture if you can find it. Christian brother who is on the projection. You have to be a Bible student. Praise the Lord. I think it's 2 Peter 1. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:3. Is it 1:3? 1:4. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. So that's what I'm telling you. You see, when you work for the Lord, it never goes. It never goes. These are things you can't be emotional about. Are you following me? These are things you can't be emotional about. People have bagged their rewards who lived before you 100 years before now. There are people who have done things for God. We are not the first. We are not the first. This is just our own time. And we have to maximize our own time. All right? It says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So heaven is not the reward, but the reward is in heaven. Praise God, somebody. So number three, the law doesn't save us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, so I told you facts about the law, and I give you three things, right? Then the other one is the purpose, right? Is another subtopic, the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law. Galatians chapter 3, the purpose of the law. Number one, I will give you four purposes of the law. Why did God give the law? I mean, if the law would be faulty ultimately, why did God give the law? If God knew, who is all-knowing, that a second covenant will come that will abolish the first, why did he give the first in the first place? All right, the first reason why he gives the law is to reveal sin. To reveal sin. Listen, the law... What people think the purpose of the law is actually the opposite of why the law was given. The purpose of the law in a lot of people's minds is to stop you from sinning. is to curtail sin. That's what people think the law is given for. But the purpose of the law is actually to reveal it. That's why God gave the law, to reveal it. So let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 20. When the law was given, sin became very visible, very evidential. Look at this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. This aligns with the third fact about the law, where we said that the law doesn't save anyone. So by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. But look at the other phrase. The other phrase says, for by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. You stop reading with me. Let's read it together. One to go. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does this even mean? That by the law is the knowledge of sin. So who remembers when I was teaching on Sunday and I gave you where Jesus was, no, where Adam was, where Abraham was, then where Moses was, and where Jesus was? Do you remember that I told you, what kind of sin did Adam commit, Bible students? I said it on Sunday. Let me know whether you are just, hey, well done, well, hey, man. If, whether you are hearing, let me know, what kind of sin did Adam commit? I will give that person, no, I said it on Sunday. Who said it? Hi, Pete. You are always winning these kind of things. My gift will come to you. Barakaba. It is called original sin. I said it on Sunday. You know how somebody can be looking at pastor when pastor is teaching? One thing, the person not here. Have you seen that kind of thing before? Tell your neighbor, I hope pastor is not talking about you. You know, somebody will just sit down. In fact, some people even have a movement that goes with my sentences to make it look as if they are listening. Maybe in my punctuation, if I say something and I pause, they'll be like, Nothing. But there's a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Say, we have understanding. So listen, you know, when I'm speaking in church, I wish you really hear me. Because sometimes when I'm writing my notes, I know that I'm coming to teach. And if there are theologians in the house, it is good stuff I'm giving you. Then after that, I prophesy. Do you see what I'm saying? So don't be carried away by when I start to minister to people. Get the meat. So I said on Sunday that the sin Adam committed is original sin. Then the sin other people committed after Adam is what? Inherited. But there was a word I used. I wanted to use my words to show that you're listening. Yes, I said inherited, but personal sin. So there is original sin and there is personal sin. What is personal sin? The one people who were born of Adam committed. Original sin is the one Adam committed. So those who committed personal sin did not commit the kind of sin in exactness that Adam committed. But everybody is called a sinner, for all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. So just because Adam fell, everybody has fallen. Now, back to what I was trying to say. If you remember when I was teaching, I said from Adam, who committed an original sin, before Moses, the Bible says, because of Adam's sin, death reigned through the world. But it was until the time the law was given through Moses or to Moses that sin became evident. It is when there is a law that says, thou shalt not, that there will be a transgression. If there is no law that says thou shalt not, there can never be a transgression. Because a transgression is the breaking of a law. So what happens before the law? Yes, it is sin, but it's not accounted as sin. But it is sin, it is an offense, but the consequence of that offense is death. So from Adam, death is reigning. But from Moses, because law is given, it now becomes sin. So what they have been doing before Moses' time is now clear to everybody, this is sin. Because of the law. So the purpose of the law is to reveal sin. So let's go back to the scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law, come on, everybody. Talk back to me. Okay, NLT version. NLT translation, I mean. NLT translation. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Is there any simple way to put it other than this? Then the law simply shows us how sinful we are. This is the purpose of the law. You don't believe? Amplified. That's the meaning of the word amplified. Amplified version is to use microphone to make it louder what King James was saying. That's raise and raise and raise and raise. That's amplified. For no person will be justified, made righteous. Acquitted. See all these long things? All that is justified, though. For no person will be justified, which is made righteous, acquitted, and judged acceptable in his sight by observing the works prescribed by the law. For the real function of the law is to make men recognize and be conscious of sin. Subhanallah. Not mere perception, but an acquaintance with sin, which works towards repentance, faith, and holy character. So the real purpose of the law, the real function of the law is to what? Make men recognize and be conscious of sin. So that's why you see people who love the law are sin conscious. Is it not so? Maybe you are quiet because you yourself, you were sin conscious before. Okay, the pastor is not talking about you. Praise the Lord, somebody. So say with me, the purpose of the law is to reveal sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Same point. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. So you now you sit down and begin to think. Use your mind. Why did God give Moses the law? If the purpose of the law is to reveal sin, then why did he give the Israelites this law? Why? I'll show you. But let's read this one. Galatians 3 verse 19. What purposes then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come down, or should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Long story. NLT version. You know, King James has been our problem for the longest time. So we don't really understand the scripture because of thou, thee, thou, hitherto. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. That's what it means. To what? To show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. Is it now making sense? Yes, God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. So the purpose of the law was to reveal sin. That's what it says here. To show people their sins. Let me paint the best picture. Have you ever been with someone who is the classical description of ITK? If you don't know ITK, I mean, that's about the only abbreviation, one of the few abbreviations in this whole world that I know. I don't know abbreviations, but I know ITK. You know what ITK is? I too know. Have you seen an I too know person before? They are everywhere. They're in your offices. They are in your house, they are in your family, maybe it's even you. But have you seen an IT classicals? ITK people, they will never agree that they don't know. They will never tell you, you know, and me, I don't know. So, you know how to catch ITK people? Put them on the spot. When you put them on the spot, then you reveal their ignorance. Because if you give them the answer, and then you now ask them if they knew, they say, no, I knew now. Have you seen that kind of thing before? Didn't he annoy you? Have you not seen an ITK person? I don't understand why these people are just being mad. Now, when they now tell you, I know I'm now. You don't tell me we don't do this thing. We don't serve this thing long time. You didn't know it. You just used to learn now.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.